Blind Cool Tech, June 23, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech.
Fun. I wanted to play with the podcast stuff. Good guy.
Technology.
The world is anybody there.
And blindness.
Ah, God. Who put that wall there?
And all comes together.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Today, we have a special guest. We're going to interview Barbara Henning about piano tuning and, you know, whatever else comes up. So, kick back, grab a cup of coffee, and join in with us.
Sounds like a party out here. What's that?
We let Mitzi Friedlander.
Oh.
First, she tells me that she listened to the tour, a podcast tour.
Oh, yeah?
Mitzi. And then Mitzi came along.
Wow.
That's what it would be like is Miss Williams. She's just, oh, man, so professional, but then she can be funny, too.
She can.
Oh, that is cool. Cool.
Sorry we didn't catch up with you yesterday. The KET people just underestimated the amount of time,
yeah,
as people often do.
Well, you know what? I didn't lose any sleep over it.
I noticed you didn't.
Out of here. Yep, 4:30. I was right out the door, wasn't I?
You're never going at 4:30. You usually leave later than that.
I know it, but I was ready to get out of here yesterday.
Yeah, turkey.
Yeah, but this time.
Oh, that's right. I was meeting her. That's why I was leaving at 4:30.
Okay. All right. Well.
All right. Thanks, Roberta.
Good to see you.
Good to see you all. Thank you, Mitzi, for talking with me.
Mitzi, I don't know where Mitzi
is. She's gone.
Okay.
All right, you ready, Barbara?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'll let you be in the lead, sir.
Okay. Check us out there, sec.
Yeah, she didn't even listen to that ABH tour, did she?
She didn't.
No.
Oh, goodness.
The studio tour?
Yeah.
Barbara said, I have to send you that link. Lauren's beating her tail in half. They're both beating. Now, which way you want to go out?
Straight out.
You go straight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go straight, Jake.
Good job. Okay.
Good boy.
Two books in the Sue Grafton series.
Oh, didn't she? Who read them?
I said, shame on you. I said, I could tell when you were... She said, well, I wasn't on vacation. But I said, well, you didn't read C is for Corpse and D is for Deadbeat. No, at this point.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, she didn't.
So who did those two?
Well, I don't want to say because then that... I don't think it was anybody from the printing house.
Okay. Maybe we didn't have the contract that year.
For their own books, but she can be a Sue Grafton.
Oh, sorry.
Good
boy.
Why are you pulling me over, sweetie?
Oh, there was somebody walking.
Hey,
has NLS done S yet?
Has NLS done what? No.
They hadn't? Audible.com has got it.
Oh, God, I wish I could have said, Mitzi, did you read S's for Silence yet? She would have known, dang it.
Right.
Shoot.
Yeah.
See, will you ask which one?
I sure will. Good boy. Taking a right there, Barbara.
You're being spoiled. You're following Larry. You're not even.
That's the easy job, huh? Oh, okay. It's right on the corner. I'll show you.
Now, I did bring the microphone, so I'm going to use those mics.
We're crossing. Hey, y'all. Good boy. All right, we're just going to keep going straight all the way to the corner. Jake, you're distracting dogs. Watch it, low branches.
Yeah, I know. Even I have to duck, and that's pretty bad.
I know. There's some that are... Poor Jake has to stop.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I sure had a lot of good feedback from that barbershop podcast, Barbara. That's the craziest place.
That's wild, man.
Matter of fact, we're walking past it right now.
Hey, Josh, the wild boy.
That's right. Oh yeah, it's nice out today.
Does James Hotel still work at the Britain House?
I don't know. Probably not.
That's what we need that for.
Well, we can go see. Okay, we're gonna just go to this corner and take a left, but I'm gonna hit this button.
Yeah, because we have to cross over Franklin Avenue.
Yeah. Yep. Left.
Left. Stop.
Oops. Nope. Oh yeah, that is what we want. Okay. Let's go straight. Hi. Are you with me, Barbara?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, we're gonna take a left right here. Inside. Inside. Right here. Hey, Barbara. I think we can probably just grab one of these tables here. Yeah.
It's kind of noisy.
All right, let's go in then. Let's go in then.
Yes, sir. Okay,
it's actually going to be noisier in there, though. But we'll see. We can come back out if it's too noisy. No problem. Oh, I've got the door open here.
I'm about to fill up a step here. I didn't realize there was a step up.
It's kind of tricky, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, but
all right.
I don't know. Between the traffic, let's see. What will this determine? Which is the least noisy? Okay, I'm in.
Okay.
Move out of your way. It feels better here. It's like human.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. Okay. Going up. Be easy. Yes, sir. Move on to left.
All right. I'm with you.
Step right.
Oh, thank
there.
You. She's stopping.
Yeah, right
left.
There. Teeny pinch.
Yes.
How about here? Good boy. Oh, I'm sorry.
And that's going to give you some room for the dog.
Thank you. Let's see. Yeah. I can sit where people aren't.
Oops.
That's fine. Right over here. Around the table, right there.
Yeah. That way people can pass it. Don't have to worry about the dog.
And the dog, if the dog can kind of hit one dog over here, maybe, right there.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Right with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a seat, little buddy. Quit snarfing.
No, nothing new.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing? Huh? Jake and Lorna. All right. Wow, this is an odd-shaped table.
Yes. Little. Very little.
All right, so
let me give you these mics so you can change.
Say again?
I'm going to give you these microphones.
Okay. You want me to try the windscreen again?
Yeah. Everything's in a bag.
Okay.
I don't know what we should do. I guess we can. Here. Reach it out to you. You got it. There you go.
All right. Everything's in the bag.
I guess we could. I think we should stay here or go out.
It's quieter out if you want out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think we should go back out because.
Do you mind if we sit outside?
Even though we got traffic surges, we're going to be quieter.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So yeah, I'll carry your bag.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Now,
we've got a door right over here behind you.
Oh, okay. Right
here. Okay.
What about this way or right over here?
Let's see. in front?
Either way, the two kids will come back this way toward me.
Okay.
And right over here is the
table. Oh, gotcha.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It is a little quieter out here.
Yeah, it is. And especially over in this spot, too, because
myself.
Yeah. Not too.
Okay, let's see. Larry, either on either side of me or across from me, I think.
Okay, all right. So, come on, little buddy.
All right, sweetie.
I'll sit up.
Honey, I'm sorry to shoot the
Well, speaking of noise.
Yeah,
yeah, there's a few noise surges out here, but.
Yeah, at least they go down.
Can I get you all something to drink?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, dang.
That is loud. Hold on, my ears are about to die.
Watch out for this over here.
What diet drinks do you have?
We have Diet Coke.
Oh.
That's about it.
Okay. Darn. Well, okay, I'll take water.
Water?
Yes, with lemon.
Okay.
And I'll have the iced tea.
Iced tea?
Yeah.
Okay.
I forget what kinds of... I always like their pasta dishes. They always have such good pasta, but I don't know.
Everything's good here.
I know that.
At least I hadn't found anything I don't like yet.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can drop this on the ground again here.
Yeah, because this table has holes in it.
Yep. So, Barbara, would you like to tell us about the nice recording you made?
Oh, man. Well, all I did was clip the binaurals to the music stand and, you know, separate them. I put one on one end of the music stand, one on the other end of the music stand, and just had it sitting in front of Lorna and me. And the organ was situated in front of that, the console situated before that. So the keyboard, I don't know the exact layout, but of course, you know, you don't, when you listen to the organ, you don't hear what's coming out right at the manuals. You hear it, it's piped, it's a pipe organ. So you're gonna hear where the pipes are. And it's rather huge, it's a huge organ. And the Kurzweil that Philip Hines is using in the beginning with the harp sound on it, he's actually got it connected to speakers that are a little ways out, so that's why it sounds kind of far away.
Okay.
I don't know what the piece was he was playing.
What?
What it was.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, I don't. If I did, I'd tell you.
okay.
But he does the entrance song first, just by himself, before Emily the cantor announces it. It's Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. And she sounds kind of like she's far away, too, because she is. She's below us. We're in the loft. It's like there's like three steps, and then you turn, and then there's a bigger staircase that goes straight up. It's made out of marble, and there's actually one on either end of the loft, and that's where the choir sings, and that's where Lorna and I are all the time. That's where I play from, is the loft. So I'm right next to the organ. So... and that's basically what I did. I just turned the Edible R1
water.
On. Let her rip.
And tea.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And were you all ready to order?
What are your salads?
We have an autumn salad, which is mixed greens and pumpkin seeds and golden raisins with a molasses vinaigrette. We have a Greek salad, which is romaine lettuce, tomatoes, onions, green peppers, and a sun-dried tomato vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
A Cobb salad with hard-boiled egg, avocado, tomato, and turkey.
Okay.
With honey mustard or blue cheese dressing. And we have a spinach salad with spinach, tomato, onion, mushrooms, blue cheese, and a vinaigrette.
Okay. And also, I think I'm still going to go back to your pasta dish. Do you have a marinara pasta?
Sure.
Okay. I would like that with all the veggies you can put in there. And what meat could you put in there? Like chicken or?
Yeah, we can do chicken.
Okay.
Did you want, that kind of sounds like our puttanesca. It's olives and tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound good?
Yeah. Cheese, though.
No
just
cheese.
Just hold the cheese, and I don't know how much oil you use, but as long as that's not a whole lot.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Did you want the small or large?
I want the small, please.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For you?
Meatball calzone.
Okay. Okay, I'll have that right out.
All right, thanks. Well, this is a little easier with it on the table, but I'm...
They're still hard to get on.
Yeah, they are.
They make them very difficult. I don't know why.
So it seems like they ought to stay once you get them on there, huh?
Well, you think, but they don't. At least the person that put them on for me maybe didn't have them all the way on, you know? I don't know. Huh. I hope they stay because I keep them on.
Yeah, it'd be nice to.
It's a pain. I really love them, though. I really love those microphones. I disconnected them from the box so they won't use up the battery. It doesn't drain it that fast, but they tell you to unplug them, so.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So what church is this where you play?
This is Holy Spirit. It is on Lexington Road and Cannons Lane.
Oh, okay.
It's been around, I know. I wish I knew more of its history. I know at least 50 years it's been around, and they've renovated it some, I don't think a whole lot. It's I don't know the worst square footage, but there's a lot of marble pillars in it. It almost looks gothic.
Yeah.
The way it's made.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating, you know, the way it's built and the sound, the way it reflects off the walls.
It sure is. That's
yeah.
a very nice recording.
Yeah,
it really gives you a good idea of the ambience of the place.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And I didn't know, you know, how it was going to be. And a couple times the organ rattles the music stand a little bit, but not bad. I mean, it's, you don't hear it a whole lot. And I turned the gain down some so we wouldn't get a lot of distortion. You know, because on the Eddy Roll, you don't have the R1, you don't have the, I don't like the limiter on the R1 at all.
Yeah.
So I never use it.
No, I don't think you got any clipping or distortion in there. It sounds real good.
I didn't, and I was so amazed, especially with that big organ. I don't know how many ranks it has, but the bass. See, if I'd have thought, I'd have turned the bass off, but if it doesn't distort, you know, when I listened to it back, I said, well, it didn't turn out as bad as I anticipated because of the bass being on. Stop it. Leave it. Stop it. Lay down. I'm sorry, Jay. Lay down. Sit. Right now. Down. I stopped trying to play.
You talking to me?
No, I was talking to Laura because she was trying to mess under the table. She was trying to sneak in a sniff of Jake, and he was being good, and she was angsty. She was flirting. But let's wait for this noise goes by.
So, and we should tell people that was you on the violin there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was playing the fiddle, and Philip Hines was playing the organ, and Emily, I don't know her last name, darn it. Well, whatever. Anyway, she's one of the regular cantors at Holy Spirit does the, you know, is kind of a, she provides, you know, what the songs are and where to find them in the book, and also does the song response in the middle of the two readings. And welcomes people at the beginning of the service. And sometimes she has to announce them to turn their cell phones and pagers off because you can really hear those things in that
place. I'll bet.
Man, it's embarrassing.
All right, here's your windscreens on, Barbara. But if you look at them, you see that they're not going to stay on there that good.
No,
I mean, they're on there as far as they can go.
Yeah.
But they're just so tiny.
Yeah.
Here they are right here.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right. They just came off. Yeah.
Did it come off already?
Let's see if I can slide it back on.
Going to be very delicate. I wonder if
yeah, you're right. I got it on. Well, it's not going to stay on.
It might be worth gluing on there.
I don't know. I'd be afraid to. But man, I don't know why they even make these windscreens for these things if they're not going to stay on.
Mm-mm.
What's the point?
Exactly.
Darn, I'm disappointed that they won't stay on.
I'll ask Roger at work if he's got any ideas for keeping them on there.
Yeah, because it's really, you know, I've listened and I've gotten a lot of wind, but you know what? It's not as bad as you think. It's really not, because I've done a couple of walks with it now, and it's not as bad as you think. Really not.
Man, this table is lopsided, Barbara.
Yeah, it's very lopsided.
Wonder what the heck's going on here.
It's like all restaurants, their tables are never balanced.
I mean, this one is like 3 inches taller
bad.
On one side.
It's bad. I mean, this is really bad. It's really bad.
Hmm. Oh, well. Okay.
It's been left that way. So, I don't know.
So, do you want me to put that stuff back in the bag there?
Okay.
Your microphones?
Yeah. Do you want to try them out in this machine?
Well, are you and Adele not getting together?
No, because Purdue's sick.
But I mean, this is Friday. You probably have a chance this weekend.
Well, I don't think so, because she's not going to cut. She has to reschedule her rides and everything.
Oh, okay.
So
well, sure then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'll just let you use them and.
Okay.
And see what you think.
I'll guard them with my life.
Yes, sir.
Boy, after that disaster yesterday, I'm scared. I really am. Okay, let's see. I'm confused here.
What's new?
What is this right here? What's this little part?
That part plugs into the battery box.
Oh,
and the button that you press in goes opposite. I can plug that in for you so you can see how it goes, and then you'll know how to do it. Hello.
It's from inside the restaurant. Would the dogs like it?
No.
A drink of water?
Oh, no thanks.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, though.
Uh-huh.
Morning gets up soon that comes out. I'll plug that in for you if you want, and because it goes in the battery box, and then you, from there, you'll know how it goes, because you'll be able to feel it.
Yeah.
And there's no wrong way to do it, but there we go. Now you'll be able to feel that. You have to push in on the button. There's the battery box.
Oh, okay.
See how it does?
Yep. All right.
I knew you would. And now, then, of course, then you see the other end. There's another.
Yeah.
You feel that big jack, and that plugs into your machine.
Yep.
And then the microphone's clipped. It's a nice long wire for you tall people.
Sure is.
I have a lot of extra wire that I have to pull with.
You can wrap it around you a couple times.
Hi, sweetie.
Now, this switch, do I want it?
Well, it depends on what you want. If you want a fuller bass sound, I usually keep it off for the walks and things. And it sounds really not. You can play with that.
Yeah.
And you pull up on it, and then you flip it. And then you pull back down to lock it in.
Oh, that is nice. Doesn't accidentally go out of your pocket that way. Okay.
Exactly.
So we should leave this unplugged from here for now to keep it from using batteries, though, right?
Well, you can. I just did it because, just being precise.
Right.
It says you get, I don't know how many hours. Quite a lot.
Alrighty. So, now, let me make sure I don't lose those windscreens off those mics. it's good. A lot of people actually were very interested in your piano tuning aspect of your life, Barbara. And I was hoping we could get you to talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
And
do you want to know where how I studied it, or what kinds of things would you like to?
Oh man! First thing I want to know is where that windscreen went.
It just blew. Don't worry about it, because they don't stay on, so who the heck cares, man?
Oh, man.
See, that's how bad they are.
I'm going to take this other one off.
Yeah, just take it off, because it won't stay
on.
Yeah,
they're so loose on there, there's no way.
Yeah, there's no point in even using them. I don't even care. Adele said she threw hers away because she couldn't get them on her mic.
Did she get the same microphones?
No, she didn't get these yet. She got the cheaper version.
So tell us about these. These are from Core Sound?
These are from Core Sound. They are you can get a couple of different kinds. I think there's one that just has a battery box. It's $230. And then this one that I got that has a switchable bass roll-off is $260. And they're kind of, they're kind of the middle-of-the-road microphones. They're not the cheapest, but they're not the... And I don't know why there's a big difference. It's like, the ones Neil has about $1,000. But these are... I think they've been used since 1990, this particular
is that right?
set, and a lot of people have used them in their Sony mini discs and all those things, and there's a lot of emails that Core Sound has gotten as to how good they sounded and what they pick up, and it's amazing the stereo image they give you. It's almost like you've got four channels.
Wow.
Because I can hear how close Lorna and I are together.
Is that right?
And then you can hear
because you can tell she's slightly to the left.
Yeah.
And then I'm slightly to the right. But then
nice.
The cars are to the left. I mean, really to the left or
yeah.
the right, just wherever it is. And you could actually hear how, you know, when your ears picks up, both ears are picking up the sound, like when a car comes from behind you or in front, you can hear it out of both ears at once. You know, it's like,
yeah.
it almost sounds like it's directly behind you.
Yeah.
And then as it comes to either side, you can hear it branch out either to the left or to the right.
Okay,
and it's amazing. It's like, dang, the image is absolutely phenomenal.
Wait. Yeah, can't wait to try them out.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have not recorded piano on these. I don't know how a piano would sound on these things, but I bet it would sound good because on the Edirol, with not such a wide image, I could get a pretty good recording of the grand piano in the auditorium when we
oh, yeah?
had our chorus group together.
Now, that recording you made at the church, was that with these microphones?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And you were wearing them on your sunglasses?
No, I had them on. I had them clipped to a
on
music stand.
Music stand, you said. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's right, and to either end of the music stand, that gave me a wide enough separation. And I just made sure that the wire wasn't obstructed in any way. And I just set the Edirol on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Microphone's connected to that music stand.
Okay.
I just turned it on and let her go, and that was just amazing. I told Philip, I said, "You won't hear anything. You won't hear nothing's gonna buzz, pop,
yeah,
nothing."
No.
Because he said, "Well, will it disturb anything?" I said, "No, you won't hear nothing." So.
Nice.
Said, okay, you just set it up the way you want it then. So I did.
Okay, so piano tuning. All
yes.
of that. Training and
okay.
the day to day and business aspects and
oh, Lord,
what you need to consider and all that kind of stuff.
I trained when the program was offered at the School for the Blind here in Louisville under Jim Scoggins.
Mm-hmm.
And I started studying it. Actually, he wasn't teaching girls piano tuning for the longest time. And
really?
Dorothy Nolan convinced him, you know, that. Told him I had a good ear and that it would be worth my while to try it, see if I could, you know, would he consider teaching me? And so I studied along with just a couple of other people. We didn't have a whole group of us, but it was basically, we learned the rudiments of actually tuning the strings on the piano and how to do it, and then we did some repair work. I didn't get as heavily into the mechanical aspects of it as a lot of people do.
Uh-huh.
A lot of tuners are more technicians, and they do everything. They do the tuning, they do the repair. Hey, lay down. Sit right now. Down. I said down. Stay down. Stop. Sorry. she gets up a lot.
Where you going, Lorna?
No, she's not going to go any place because I got my leash sitting on her leash. she does. She'll correct herself.
That's right.
But I mainly focused on the tuning aspect simply because a lot of people don't seem to want to get into a lot of the mechanical aspect since they only have their piano done once every 10 years anyway.
Yeah.
So I studied with Jim for about 2 years, and then I graduated from high school and went back. I went to Jefferson Community College for part-time. I took a light load and took a couple of, I don't know, 12 hours, whatever it was. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, it was part-time. And then the rest of the time during that year, it was 1983-84, I went to school to practice on tuning pianos. I would do the practice booths and everything in the music
okay.
building just to get my skills sharp.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to Jefferson Community College in the fall and took a full load. And then in the spring of 85 then, this was the fall of 84, spring of 85 I went to U of L and stayed and studied at U of L from 85 through 1990 and got a Bachelor of Arts degree. And then during the last year that I was at U of L, 89-90, I took another piano tuning course under Dan Makinich, and mostly I did tuning there too. We did go over some repairs and
mm-hmm.
things. And but I knew that I was getting ready to leave U of L, and I wanted to have that. I wanted to get the skill back in my hands again. So
yeah,
because I hadn't touched a piano in, you know, 5 years.
hours, so I had to make sure I had knew what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
So then when I got out, I basically started advertising in the phone book, which was recommended to do. And
like in the Yellow Pages?
Yeah, in the Yellow Pages, and just put a small ad. I didn't get real fancy and big with it because I think it's a waste of money to get all the, you know, the way you can advertise. You can have in bold inches and colors and all that junk that I didn't want. I just wanted my name in there and what I did and my number and all that stuff. That's all I wanted. So I got a few people that way. I haven't had as much luck as, say, somebody like Jim Scoggins that had a built-in driver. I had two problems with the business. One is it's hard to find a regular driver. You can't really depend on public transportation for these appointments because you don't know if you're going to show up or not. And number two, people are not regularly having their pianos down anymore. It's a shame. But unless you get a lot of people who actually teach piano on a regular basis or play on a regular basis, they're not going to get their pianos tuned very often at
right.
all. It's a dying art, and sad but true. It's a wonderful skill. It's very rewarding. Most of the pianos I tune are not worth a hoot.
Oh, but, is that right?
Yeah, I get a lot of bad spinet pianos, and I've gotten a few nice grands. And I've gotten some nice uprights, too. There was one nice Weber spinet that I tuned. Just fabulous tone and everything else, but I haven't tuned it since. And, you know, I've called people back and things. And there's a lot of people tell me, well, do you call your customers? And it's like, yes, I do. But I've tried both ways. I've tried to, you know, let them know that I'd be happy to tune your piano once a year, twice a year. And I ask them what they want.
Uh-huh.
Well, even if they tell me, well, yeah, we want it twice a year, I'll call. And then they'll be saying, well, I'm too busy. I can't do
right.
it. It's so I figure, you know, I've more and more left it up to them because, you know, I take their name and their name's in my records, but I usually leave it up to them anymore because it's the same difference, basically, having them call me.
Yeah.
Because if they don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. And
right.
so I have been very disappointed in that aspect. So, you know, there are some weeks where I absolutely do nothing, and then there are some weeks where I have, you know, several days in a row where I have one piano tuning. But I have to schedule them way in advance because of transportation, and that turns people off. Well, I want to do them done tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's hard, too, you know? And
And it wouldn't be practical just to take a cab out there because it'd be too expensive.
It might as well not even, you know, charge the almost half of the thing.
Yeah.
And this table is so wobbly, my knife is almost going to fall off this table.
Oh, it's at a terrible angle.
Yeah. It's getting on my nerves.
Maybe I can prop up this side on Jake over here or something.
No, don't. You don't bring out a piece of something to prop his table up, it's bad. But I enjoy it, even though it's frustrating as heck to not have a regular job at it. That's why I do all these church gigs and any weddings and things I can get. I play and sing. You know, I'm not just a violinist. But I thought, well, gosh, between all these three things.
Pasta.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome. Lay down.
Sorry. And meatball calzone.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Do you guys need anything else right now?
I'd like some more water, please.
More water?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they have any salt and pepper out here. I don't think they do. I guess we'll have to ask for that.
If they did, it'd be sliding off the table.
Yeah, it would come off. So. I'll have to ask them if they can bring it out.
Oh, I guess I'm going to have to ask her for some silverware, too.
Oh, isn't it rolled up in a napkin?
Yeah, I found it. Yep. Okay.
You got it.
I got it. So, your busiest week, you have three or four a week? That's about average? Or?
Yeah, that's about average. And so I just, you know, as far as taxes and everything, I just average out a yearly income. I can't go by the month.
Yeah.
Because it varies so much. And I'm still considered part-time employed because of that. It's just, you know, it's ridiculous. Very disgusting. I went back to U of L in 94, in the spring of 94, through the spring of 95 to take some education courses, try to get on paper that I could actually teach.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't really work because I missed the NTE, the National Teachers Exam, passing it by 1 point. I said,
oh,
fine.
No.
And I took it a couple of times. And that basically allowed me to teach in the school system,
uh-huh.
which I hate anyway. The school system is so bad, especially in the music department. And I just got a lot of, have a lot of problems with it. They don't, you know, it's... But I was teaching, I was doing private lessons, you know, for about 4 years. And I also helped Dorothy Nolan at the School for the Blind. I was working part-time with her and helping her and getting, you know, paid for that, obviously. And,
uh-huh.
you know, teaching the students down there. But... that's really about all I've done. I've taught, you know, violin. I've on occasion I've given a couple voice lessons, but mainly it's violin, and then I of course tune pianos and then play for any engagements I can.
Yeah.
So and sing or whatever. But that's kind of my life. And
so what's your equipment for tuning a piano? Do you carry a toolbox with you or? I'm sorry, I don't know anything about it. I've never tuned one.
That's okay. I have a backpack that I carry my tuning hammer, and I carry a box. It's called a Hale Electrofork that has about 3 octaves worth of pitches on it, tones on it, that I never use. I just carry it in case I have to pitch raise somebody's piano. I hardly do that because most of the time their piano's so out of tune that it's not worth pitch raising. And that means just bringing the piano up to what you hear in public concerts and the pitch that you hear in public concerts. And there is cheese in this.
Is there?
Yeah. But anyway.
So what's the hammer now? A tuning hammer, you say?
Yeah, it's not exactly hammer like you pound. It's actually what it's made of. It's a handle. It's made out of wood. There is a metal. God, I wish I could almost. I should have brought my back. A metal piece that fits actually over the. When you open the pianos up, you actually take the front off where you put your music. Take
uh-huh.
that part off.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It exposes you to the strings and to what looks like pegs that hold the strings on, but they're really pins. We call them tuning pins.
Okay.
So this wrench-looking thing, we call it a hammer just because it looks like the handle looks like a hammer handle. The wrench-like thing has a metal piece that actually fits over the pins. So the pins actually fit down in this little piece that allows you to turn the pins in the pin block. They're seated in this big fat block that's inside the instrument.
So all the strings
all
are in
the
this
strings
block.
Are connected. That's the harp of the piano. I call that the harp, where the strings,
okay.
the pins, and down on the bottom. If you fit on a vertical piano, you have to. It's you know the strings are sitting upright in
right.
a vertical piano. So you slide your hand down in there, and then. Where the pedals are, there's like what's called hitch pins, and then the soundboard is there, and then there's also a bridge that helps that keeps the strings on too. So all that stuff's holding those strings on.
Okay.
And then what I manipulate when I tune are the things that look like pegs, and the strings are wound around those peg-looking things so that you can tighten them and loosen them.
Okay.
And so that's what I do. And I have mute. I have a strip-looking thing that's it can be red or green, but it's cut out. It's designed. The piano is strung. I guess there's like 230 strings on the thing. It's a lot
wow.
of strings. 88 keys. 230.
I had no idea.
But the many of the notes have 3 strings per note.
Okay.
And that. Makes the gives the note its tone.
Yeah.
And, since physically, to get the sound we want, we'd have to have such a long, long wire, and they compensate for that by having more strings.
Okay.
And some of the strings are thinner, so you have to have more of them. So the really
high notes have three thin strings for one note, and you have to tune each one of those strings, and they're all on the pegs are all lined up, and tune each one of those strings to each other. And then as you go down lower into the piano, the lower you go, kind of like, oh gosh, not how many strings exactly to tell you, but the lower the notes get, you finally reach to a point where you have only two strings per note. Okay. And then the lowest notes are these real thick wires, and the wires get thicker as you go down too.
Yeah.
The really, really thick guys, they're your bass strings, and they're wrapped. They're wrapped wire. You can see these coils all the way down the wire, but they're real tight, so you wouldn't even know that.
Yeah.
And those are the bass strings, and they're going to be your short, thick strings, and they vibrate at a slower rate. And they're single strings, way on down. And the better pianos, the notes on the better pianos, more of those notes, like your grands and your concert grands and all those guys, they have more notes that have three strings per note.
Oh,
and
do
there's
they?
Only a few, like five or six, that have two strings per note. Thank you. Do you have any salt?
We do.
Okay. Thank you. So they take a little bit longer because they have more strings.
Yeah.
And the average of 230 is kind of an average amount of strings on the pianos, but some have more or less than that.
Yeah.
Depending on how big the piano is.
So where do you start? You start with the lowest note?
Well, what you do is I take this felt strip, that's why I explained to you about the strings having more, and I mute off all the strings I don't want to hear. Like say I'm, because you just want to tune single strings, you just want to tune intervals to each other first. You like the bigger intervals. You want to tune an octave and a fifth, say, to each other, all the octaves and the fifths. And you still go chromatically, but thank you. But you want to make sure that you have one single string. You don't want to have all these other strings sounding, because then you can't. It makes this bad sound. It sounds like a bar piano, a real bad honky-tonk piano. It's a bad tune. And you can't really tell what you're doing. So you just want one string at a time, and you tune for one note. I mean, each note has only one string. As you've muted off all the rest with this strip that you put in between the other strings, and you just leave one string showing on each one of the notes.
Okay.
Except for the ones that have only one string.
Then you don't
have to mute those. You just mute the ones that have more than one string.
Now, these strings that where there's three on a note,
mm-hmm.
are they must be pretty close together,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this felt strip, I mean, it's pretty precise.
You go
work.
In between the groups. Yeah, you mute in between the groups of the strings. So you'd have, like say you're muting to the left of this a group of three, and then to the right of the group of three, and go on like that, so you have the center string showing.
Okay.
You know, and at the break, what I usually do is I have also have this rubber looking wedge thing. It's tapered, and it looks exactly like a wedge, and what I do with the wedge is I put the wedge in between, let me explain to you again. They have three sections basically on a piano. You have your bass section, you have your tenor section, that's the way I'll refer to it, tenor section, then you have your high treble section.
Yeah.
So there is how do I explain this? The sections have a bar that separates them. So at that bar, you're going to be stuck with some of the notes that have two strings. Like say if you muted the first group in that section, one of the strings is going to have two on one side, and one, you're going to have two strings showing that aren't muted.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is I have a rubber wedge thing that I stick between the two strings, and usually it has to be the left or the right string showing instead of the center string. So in those instances, you have a couple strings where you have, I know this is totally confusing. At the end of each section,
I hope there's not a test at the end.
God. you almost have to get up and buy an instrument and show you, but
I think I'm following you.
Yeah. Anyway, you have situations where you're either going to have to go in between the right and middle string or the left and middle string with this rubber wedge. The rest can get muted off by this cloth.
Okay.
So once you have that done, then you're ready to go on and you pick you have a central note where you start. And if you notice, if you ever listen to a piano that's been, like on WUOL, for example, they have their concert hour or something like that. Something really precise where you know the things in tune. But you still hear this kind of like a vibrato sound, that kind of thing. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
I have. But
the reason that is because these pianos, they're tuned in such a way that you can play in all different keys.
Okay.
Which is called tempered. So they're tempered. All the strings, the way they vibrate, there's so many harmonics that you can't tune a piano exactly for the key of C. If you did that, if you played in the key of D, it would sound awful.
Okay.
So the well-tempered, I'm trying to think of who it invented. Now I'm losing my college knowledge here on who came up with the pianoforte when they did that, I know I'm going to get a lot of corrections on this stuff, but that developed the equal-tempered clavier. Seems like it was in Bach's time. Well, somewhere along in the 16th, 1700s. God,
wow.
I feel so illiterate right here. But anyway, excuse me, y'all. That's bad. Anyway, it was invented then because people were starting to use more keyboard-type instruments and wanted to play in all kinds of keys instead of having to tune the thing. It takes too long to tune for the key of C, the key of D, and all this. So the well-tempered clavier, that's what that means, basically. And that's where the term temperament comes from. We use a temperament system to tune the piano so that you can play in every key and sound decent. Let's see. So you tune off of a single note, like say F. You basically get every note in that 12 note series from, let's say, middle F.
Wow.
Actually, this F. The F below middle C to the F above middle C. Tune. So you're doing that whole octave, and the way you do that octave, there's the Here Comes the Bride, which is a fourth interval. Da da, that's a fifth interval. So you're tuning those octaves, fourths, and fifths in that one octave, getting those in tune.
Okay.
Once you've got that, I could show you a lot more precise if I had an instrument, but once you've got those basic intervals done, you can tune the piano in octaves the rest of the way up.
Oh, really?
Everything tastes okay on here?
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
Real good.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So that's kind of it. And then once you get all those big intervals tuned, the four octaves, fourths, and fifths, or fourths, fifths, and octaves in that order, you do the single notes, because obviously you've still got those other two or one string of that note that you haven't done. So you tune, now those notes, you can tune exactly. All the vibrations, you have to match all the vibrations down that string as close as you can, so that it only sounds like one note.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you don't match exactly, you hear, I call it whining, the note whines. It's almost sound, when it's really bad, you can almost hear two strings. Or three strings. That's when you know it's really bad.
Okay. And you do all this by ear?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you know... Okay, you've got three strings that make up this note. And I understand you don't necessarily tune them all together.
Mm-hmm.
You do?
No.
No, okay. Yeah,
right.
You tune...
I was agreeing with you.
Okay. So is there a formula? How do you... Once you get the ones octave...
I'm leaving so much out. Okay. The formula, basically, when I was telling you about the wah-wah-wah-wah, that kind of sound you hear...
Yeah,
you have to pick a wah-wah-wah-wah-wah and almost make... You tune... Oh, man. Brass players and woodwind players and all these guys, they have partials. All strings are made up of partials. And, you basically have all these wah 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 at different frequencies running rampant. So there's, when you play two tones, they have a wah wow in common.
Okay.
So you have to know which wah wow fourths and fifths have in common and how far up the wah wow scale to go to match it. That's a really
think you're getting technical on me here,
yeah,
Barbara.
Yeah, I know, and I'm trying not to.
The wow-wow scale. It sounds like a place I want to be.
Yeah, it's... like, say for a...
Oh, Lord.
Man, and the traffic's going, and my mind's not working as well as I need to, because I'm trying to hear it. Like, say for a fifth, the fifth interval, you have a... like, you listen an octave and a fifth up from the lowest note to match that wow.
Okay.
That wow... the octave and a fifth below the lowest note of your fifth has to not go wow wow. Now maybe the other tones around it are going wow wow, but as long as that one doesn't, you've got the fifth in tune.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you just learned all this.
Hopefully you don't get flamed for all this. That's what, and we were taught this, all the stuff in class and how to listen for it. You basically can hear what you want before you can actually manipulate the wrench or the hammer to be able to tune.
Okay.
The manipulation is such a fine thing with the turning of the pin. I mean, the closer you get to where it's supposed to be, the less you have to turn the pin.
Yeah.
And that gets real tricky.
Does it?
Oh, man. Yes, it does. And just like everything else, some hammers / wrenches work better than others. Some hold better in your hand than others.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the weights are better than others. The tip of these things, which is the metal thing that fits over the pins, sometimes I like a long tip. There's also a head that you can screw on and off to match certain types sizes of pins, because some of the pins are finicky.
Yeah.
The tip doesn't fit on right, so you have to have different heads for the tips and all this.
That makes sense.
But that's basically the formula. We go by the partial. Man, my juice is sloppy. I wish this table weren't so wobbly. It's hard to keep my food in the bowl.
Well, it's not so wobbly. It's just lopsided.
I mean, yeah. There's another napkin, too.
Oh, I'll bet we can arrange that.
Mm-hmm. But that, I hope I haven't totally lost people on this whole thing, because I wish I could remember the guy that... pianoforte. Dang, all this stuff. But anyway, I know what the temper... what it means, but... Oh, man.
So you can... Is it safe to say you could spend many hours tuning one?
Well, if you do it precisely, yes. Some people... I mean, I've heard people say, well, I can tune in 45 minutes. Well, yeah, you can if you rough tune.
Yeah.
Or if you're maintaining a tuning. If you're maintaining a piano that's regularly tuned, yeah. Most of the pianos I see are not regularly tuned. I can spend anywhere for an hour and a half to 2.5 hours on a piano.
Huh, okay.
The big old Steinways. See, I'm just so picky. Jim Scoggins used to say I was killing him because I'd have to get it so precise.
Well, I bet your tunings sound good then, huh? So what
even
percentage?
Even on the crappy pianos, I have to do it.
You
can only do so much. The wow wows are harder to hear on some of the notes. You can't get as far up the tip of the partial scale, but you're basically working with the vibrations, you know, the wavelengths. As you hit the string, it vibrates all the way down the string. And so you're dealing with all that mess that's going on. That's why I love the tuning aspect so much, because there's so much involved. And I don't think tuners get enough credit. It seems like the technicians get more credit than we do.
what's a technician do?
Technician just basically repairs the different... the piano, does some rebuild. They do some rebuilding. They do all that mess. Refinishing, rebuilding sometimes. Sometimes refinishing, sometimes rebuilding. Mostly they just keep all the parts in the piano to the repair.
Yeah.
Because the piano has felt, it has, the hammers have felts on them, on the curved part that strikes the string, and those things can get all ripply looking because the strings are cutting the felt every time the hammer strikes the strings.
Oh.
You get into striking point where the strings hit and all that kind of stuff. It becomes a striking area when it's rippled like that. The tone, it messes up the tone. You have to keep those filed down and all this stuff. You have to keep all the felts filed down. A lot of the wooden parts or some things are being made out of plastic, which is disgusting. You have to keep all those pins that they have, these little bitty pins that fit in the pieces of wood to keep them able to move smoothly. And sometimes they come out, sometimes they, well, there's all kinds of, oh man, the piano has so many parts in it. We went to the Kimball Piano Factory one time and watched them actually rebuild a piano from scratch.
Wow.
And it just took a while to even see some of it. It's amazing.
Where is that factory?
They're just in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
We took a trip there. We took a trip there when I was in the class with Dan Mackinich at U of L.
And are Kimball pianos any good?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I like, my favorite ones to tune are Yamaha, Steinway, even though Steinway is a bear. And I like some Baldwin. I like the Hamilton's okay. I can't stand Wurlitzer. They sound bad. I don't care who's got it. Wurlitzer's just they don't sound good. The tone is just too sharp in some areas and too dull in others, and you can't hear the wow-wows very... I mean, you can hear them, but you never can match anything. Nothing ever matches. Oh,
I'll be darned. Yeah, it is. So what's so easy about the Yamahas?
Well, their sound, the clarity of the strings, the way the pins turn, the way they move, the way they settle down when you get the strings where you want them, when the pins settle down.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the big thing.
And what's so hard about the Steinways?
They're wonderful to tune, but the good Steinways have more strings on them. You know, the more the notes have 3 strings, the less the notes have 2, and even lesser of the notes have only 1 string. So the time is longer.
Yeah.
And then the pins have this, now this is going to get technical again, I can't have a
okay.
flagpole effect. So you have to make sure the pin moves all the way down in the block, from the top of the pin to the bottom of the pin. You have to make sure the whole thing turns.
Yeah.
The way, and you can imagine the threading in the block, in the pin block, how it's threaded. Maybe sometimes only the top part moves or gets settled.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think you got it in tune, you hit the thing and it goes right back out.
Oh,
so okay. It's you have to make sure that you get that settled down. You have to turn the whole pin first, and then basically make sure you got it all seated. Actually, you bang the note really hard once, and then you hit it softly. And if it stays in tune, then you're okay.
Okay.
If it doesn't change, you're okay. That's part of the thing too. When you tune a piano, you basically most of the time the pianos are below pitch, so you're going to be turning the string slightly above pitch to get it to settle down to the right pitch. It's not trying to go below that where it was. It liked where it was.
And the reason for that is just the strings are stretching all
exactly.
the time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So has there ever been a piano you hadn't been able to tune?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah? This sounds like a good story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I didn't know nothing so bad. This one lady told me she had a really old upright piano. I said, okay, I don't really review the piano until I actually see it and know I can't do it. Some tuners are so busy they don't even fool with tall uprights. And I have to stand up and do those because they're so tall.
Now, anyway, you mean taller than just a normal?
No, they're as tall as me.
Okay.
So usually I can sit down and do a piano. So, this piano I went to see, I started tuning it, and the pins were so loose in the pin block, it went bow, and the strings just went right back to it. I said, oh my God, these won't even hold. I said, I'll try to see if these pins hold. They wouldn't. I did a few strings. I said, ma'am, I said, let me tell you why I can't do your piano.
I can't.
Now, what would make them do that?
Well,
just mistreated? Or?
Just over time, the threads in the pin block, they wear. Just
okay.
like when you have screws in a piece of wood, that they start, well, the wood, the holes in the wood, either the screw strips or the wood, the hole, you know, just gets worn.
Yeah.
So you basically have to put actually bigger rounded pins in there or just repair the hole
right.
in the block. So that's what happened to her piano. It was all rotten. And it just, none of the pins would hold in place.
Yeah.
And I tried to show her how that worked. You know, I did a note for her, and she saw how it just went right back and how the hammer just swung around. I mean, it was that bad. I said, I'm sorry, but this is why. So she gave me a little bit of a, you know, a stipend for coming out. But,
yeah.
But I've had a couple like that.
So is there a piano that stands out in your mind that you've seen over your years of tuning?
There is one I was just sitting here thinking about that only had like, I'm trying to think of how many keys it had. Oh, it's written in my records. Dang it, I wish I would have brought my thing. Yeah. And it was an off-brand piano. It was a really short thing. It had something like... Now, this isn't gospel here, so don't anybody go thinking, well, it had 68 keys. No one had less than that or more than that. But anyway, it had something
you
like that.
It.
It's not the 88 keys.
You guys doing okay, sir? Interrupt.
She needs a napkin.
I need a napkin.
And,
a napkin? Yes.
And,
okay.
And we need the bill, too.
And ready for the bill?
Yep.
Okay.
This piano, it only had like 62 or something keys, and usually there's 88. It was weird. I thought, well, dang, and most all the notes had two strings, and I think there was a few that had three, but there was a lot of strings. A lot of notes had only two strings. So I didn't even charge them full price.
I think it was called a melodeon. That was the name of the piano, a melodeon.
I'll be darned.
I said, dang, this is incredible. So it didn't take me too long to do that one at all.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen a piano that short from left to right before. It was,
it was
almost
like two-thirds
like
of a
piano
or something.
They called it an apartment piano.
Oh.
Apartment style piano. Okay.
So did it just leave some off of each end? Some
well,
keys off
no,
of each end?
It looked like it was made that way. I mean, that's what they did ultimately. But the size of it, you wouldn't be able to know that unless you knew the distance, how long a piano really
yeah.
is.
So they took away some high notes and
some
low notes.
Oh, yeah, and
some
low
notes.
Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. I'd give you the exact, you know, lowest to the highest, but I can't remember where the notes started, and I don't want to be wrong, so I'm not going to say.
Somebody would catch you.
I know.
You know.
That's why I'm not going to do it. I just don't want to, you know.
Well, what else? What can you tell us else about piano tuning that we hadn't talked about? I'm sure I'm so ignorant on this subject.
We have to be patient with it.
Yeah.
Here's one napkin.
Thank you very much.
Here's the bill.
And could you would you mind telling me how much it is?
Not at all. No. Not with that. It is $21.94.
Okay. Let me give you 30, and you can just bring me back up 5, and
okay.
We'll be even. Okay.
Sounds great.
Is that that's 30, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
I got some money to help you out with that. You want to split it?
Actually, let's see. I need to...
Which name?
I need to give her a little bit better tip than what I gave her.
Let me see what I got.
I got it. I have another dollar right here. So, nope, we're good.
Is that
good? We are good.
But it takes patience and time, and if it gets on your nerves to keep hearing notes repeated, you don't want to do it. But I love it. I just like hearing the piano slide into place.
Yeah.
It just,
you have a feeling of accomplishment as it gets better and better.
It's exhilarating.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the good pianos, I'll play like the Bach Prelude in C, which is what I can play on a darn thing. And gosh, when everything just lays right, it's... Oh,
beautiful,
man,
huh?
It's just fabulous.
Nice.
Oh, God, it's, oh, man.
So, very rewarding. You don't play the piano.
Not
per
as
se.
Such. No, really? I'm not an Adele Legern or, Lilo Basie or anything like that. But I played enough to test my work.
Yeah.
But not thoroughly to. I mean, I know enough. I can play enough of the piano to know how well I've done on it.
Uh-huh.
And but that's just so rewarding. I mean, some of the crappy pianos are frustrating because I can't make them sound as good as I think they should sound. But you have to just leave it at some point.
Yeah.
And both of my instructors said, you gotta move on with the rest of the piano. I said, I know.
So is it true that you should keep a piano on the inside wall of a house?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the temperature extremes?
Mm-hmm.
And that really does make a difference.
Oh, right? Yeah. Hmm. And you can't have it beside a vent. I'm sorry, buddy. you can't have any, like, any, you don't want any air directly blowing on the instrument because
sure.
there's so much wood and so much man-made material in it, it affects it.
I bet.
You know, it can dry it out.
Yeah.
So, it's better to keep it on an inside wall away from any extremes in temperature or vents or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. And to keep it, you know, relatively, you don't want to keep it in a basement because it's too damp down there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's some other pointers. And I usually, you know, give that information to people. I try to tailor what, try to get a feel for what, how much the customer really wants to know. Sometimes
yeah.
they don't care. They don't want to know all this.
Right.
But I like to at least inform them so at least I've done my part.
Yeah.
And, God, I'm sorry about the lack of some of the knowledge on the when the stuff began. But
oh, no, that's fine. I think this has been a very good overview.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I, despite its frustrations, I enjoy the tuning of it. I just do it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And time doesn't have any meaning. When I'm working, I don't even look at the time.
You just do it till the job's right.
Exactly.
Huh?
$5 back, sir.
You know, I didn't give you enough. There's an extra dollar.
Oh, okay. Thank you very
All right.
much.
Thank you.
Every little bit counts.
That's right.
Did you need your receipt?
Nope.
Okay. You all have a great day.
All right. You too.
Thank you. But, yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it sounds like you do. So, gosh, I wish I should have had people send in questions that they'd like to know about piano tuning.
Yeah, well, they can still do that. I'd be happy to. I mean, you know, if I can answer it, I'll be happy to.
Would you let people email you or anything like that? Or how would you go through me? Or what do you want to...
Actually, let's go through you for now. I'm just being a little...
Now, some people don't want to give out their email, and I understand perfectly.
Yeah, but, I trust you so. I know you, and most of these people are probably cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, I bet they are. I hadn't met most of them, but the ones I have been very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even you.
I'd really like to meet Darren Duff. He's so cool. And Neil Ewers. God, Neil Ewers just, oh, man.
I would, too. I'd like to meet all these people,
He's
actually.
He's really a neat. Just so... He doesn't even have to work at it. I mean, he can just talk and sound like he's professional no matter what he's doing.
He's just cool, huh?
Yeah, he's just cool. That's it. He's cool. He's the cool of the blind cool
tech. That's right.
You don't know that, man, but
I think you've ever heard the... Well, even that thing we did at school not too long ago where we just kind of sat around and played and... We had to go inside of the auditorium. I had just tuned that piano not too long ago. So I was glad to hear Regina Newman play that thing. Oh, my Lord. Ooh, she played it from top to bottom.
Yeah? She tested every string on it, huh? Nice.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah, nothing like the satisfaction of a job well done.
Exactly. There's nothing like it. I mean,
Oh, man, you know what? I almost walked out of here with your 2GB card again. Let me hand that to you.
Did you get a copy of the service?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
thank
good.
You.
You're
I
welcome.
Forgot that you had said it was on MP3, but yeah, that's very nice. It sounds real good.
That was at 160K, too.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty darn good for 160K.
It is. I've started playing around with recording in 24-bit. Format.
Yeah, I wish the players out there could handle 24-bit.
Yeah,
studio recorder of course can handle 24-bit.
Of course, yep.
Yeah. but real player cannot. SoundForge can't even do it.
Yeah, it can, I think.
Well, how? I mean,
that I don't know.
Okay, maybe it can. Maybe you're right. Yeah, I think it can. But excuse me, most things can't do it.
Well, Rob says, I can't argue with him because it sounds plausible, but he says, like, even if you're going to bring it down to 16 later, if you can record in 24 and then get your volumes and up and, you know, get all your editing done and then bring it back to 16, you get a little bit richer sound, maybe.
The reason I recorded with MP3 the setting is because it's so dang hard to set that Eddie Roll R1. I couldn't. I mean, I could set it in wave, but it takes up a lot of space. And I love recording in wave. That'd be my preference. But as far as I record too many things at once to save it that way.
Yeah.
That's the reason I don't. And the other reason is because it's so dang hard to set on the edit roll.
Yeah.
I can't do it without being able to see the screen. I know it's possible. You sure do have to memorize. And if you are in doubt, forget it.
I sure know the feeling.
So it's real frustrating that way, too. I wasn't one of the lucky people to get an Optifon. I know what one is. I had some training on it. I used it when I was still in high school, but I never was able to get one.
Yeah. Yep, me neither.
And if you lose your training on that, you have to start over.
I bet there's some used ones around. I've thought about trying to find one on eBay or something.
Right. I know.
I don't know. Right. I've lived this many years without it. I guess I can.
That's what I say, too. I'm going to spend more money on recording equipment.
I want to spend less on recording equipment.
Well, I want to spend what I need to get it, and then I don't want to spend no more.
Yeah, right.
I just don't have what I want. Because I want a Rode NT1A. Actually, I want two Rode NT1A microphones. And, I need to get a longer darn lead for my, my computer. Be able to connect my all my stuff up to my computer, all my mixer and things up to my computer.
Oh yeah.
So I don't have a long enough lead, and the leads I do have that are long enough, they don't work.
You know where you might be able to get one is right down here at Mom's.
Oh yeah.
They've always got stuff like that. They're a little pricier than Radio Shack.
Yeah, they are.
Cheaper than taking a cab.
Well, that's you're right. If you think about all the transportation issues and everything that's involved, something like that, it all comes out soon. So
cool. Well, I guess I better get back over to the old funny farm. I mean.
So let me know when you use those microphones and how your recording goes, because you do have your R9, don't you?
I do. Okay. And you know what? It's going to be really hot this weekend, so I bet you're going to be seeing a pool cast coming out of Blind Cool Tech headquarters. And I've been wanting to get... I really wish I'd recorded Marley's birthday party with all those little kids in there.
Yeah, I know, you too. Because I heard you say that, and I would have liked to have heard that. How big is your pool?
It's only like about 10 feet across, probably, and about
10 feet across,
two and a half feet tall.
How deep? Two and a half feet?
Yeah, something like that.
So it's a shallow pool.
Yeah, it's inflatable. You just blow it up.
Dang, so it's like a wave pool.
Yeah, it's just big enough to cool off in.
Yeah, that's
and big enough where you can take it down in the winter.
Well, I'm telling you what, Jake, it's all sprawl. Okay, let's see. I'm coming out of here. I know the door is. You're bad.
We're going to go back behind me.
You are bad. You should get out of the hat.
Oh, that happened.
See, I was nice. I didn't say what it was.
I should.
Uh-huh.
I will. You don't believe me. All right, are we ready?
We can podcast when you quit.
That sounds like a painful cast.
But well, at least it'll be on record, so you can't say you didn't do it.
Whoever's left. All right, so we are. No, we don't want to go inside. We want to take a right.
Well, okay. I'm going.
Come on. This way.
Okay. Left.
Here we go. Good boy.
Where are you?
Right here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're heading back on the other side of the street.
Oh, yeah.
Up, Jake. There you go. Good boy.
Don't you look at them over there.
Up.
You got the microphone
in
the bag.
Oops, let me go grab that.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. I could just see what was going through that mind of yours. I did leave one of your windscreens back there somewhere.
Those windscreens can blow all the tarnation because they're no good.
Yeah, they're not going to stay, that's for sure.
No, they're not. I'm going to let you pass me up.
How about, Jake? How about?
Wait.
There you go. Good boy.
How about? You want to watch Paula Boy Jr.?
What was good?
The dogs were good.
No. Oh, yeah. How about... It's good left. Right here.
Hi.
I'm about to. Hey, Lorna.
Well, she would love to give you $10 billion if
I was on. Well, we'll have to see if we can work something out here.
Yeah, let the two get to know each other a little bit. Quiet, you hear that?
Yep, I sure did.
I'm trying just as well as my dog.
You told me how old she is one time. Did you say
she
six?
Is five.
Five, okay.
My baby's five. I've had her for over 3 years already.
It's amazing, isn't it? How that fast it passes.
It's way too fast. I would not trade this way of working for anything in the world, having dogs.
I've only regretted it a couple of times. And it was just, you know, some of those embarrassing moments.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this is only my second, but I want to have many. I mean, many more with a nice face.
Yeah. You ready? Are you with me, Barbara?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're taking a right. Up, up, Jake. Good boy. You don't have to look back there. They're coming. I know, it's, well, the street's offset there. Are you coming? Are you with me? So you're gonna cross State Street. All right. Right over here. Yeah, I'm already across. Oh, there you are. Good, how you doing? Hey, Barbara?
Yeah.
You coming? Yeah, we're wrong. You're running the light. You waited till it turned red. Yeah, I do too. It's weird because it's so offset.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. To contact Blind Cool Tech, leave a comment on the audio line at 206-984-9203. Email us at blindcooltech@gmail.com or visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com.